Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Hey, shalom, shalom, grace and peace in Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Grace and peace, family.
Grace and peace, Israelite. Grace and peace, hallelujah.
Grace and peace.
Hey, grace and peace, family.
Everybody, the lines are opening up slowly, so when you hear your line open, say shalom. I don't know why it's going so slow, so forgive Block Talk. Shalom. We have an exciting announcement. Shalom.
Cuckoo.
We have a great announcement.
Cuckoo.
Oh, we're so excited.
Hey, you know what, man, I gotta say, man, this has been a wonderful journey, man. I gotta tell you, and I'm glad to be a part to witness the growth beyond. I'd say I ain't never seen growth this at this speed, man, but praise be the Lord that He's allowing this ministry to take that kind of flight on people's souls and their spirit.
Amen.
Today is Isaiah 100th episode with the Signs of Living Waters.
Amen. Woo! Amen.
Hey, yeah, today makes episode 100.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Man, the Father's mercy. I was like, hold up, the Father gave me 100 praise out.
100.
That's a blessing.
To present His word in front of Him.
Amen.
You know how many people can say that?
Right.
Right. You know how many people can say they got 100 lessons already packed up and been distributed throughout the planet in less than 2 years?
Right.
Let me count on one hand how many people I know. Okay, all right. I guess I can use two hands. That's about as far as I'm going at. Yes, sir. That's a job well done, brother, and that's what you want the Lord to hear.
Amen.
You know, that's called diligence, man.
Oh, amen.
All right, brother Isaiah.
Amen. The Father's merciful, man. You know, it's all for the Father, you know. It's all for the Father. Ain't nothing spectacular about me. You know, it's just that, you know, it's just, you know, the Lord always give us examples. You know what I'm saying? So it ain't me, you know. I just thank the Father that He allowed me to do it. And, you know, search, and you will find. Seek it, He'll give it to you, you know. So He can do that to anybody, you know. So all praises go to the Father. Every last bit of it goes to the Father, because it's Him who gave it to me and gave it to the rest of us. and definitely gathering us all up as a family to present his word. So everything go to the Father. All praise to the Father, and bless his holy name forever for allowing us to bring whatever we got on the table for his purpose. We could be out there doing anything right now. We could be going out there with any type of lust of the flesh. You could be out there talking crazy to people. We could be doing anything, but we decided to come together and congregate with one another on the Bible Blog Talk show to preach his word. Ain't nothing better than that. So all praises go to the Father forever in Jesus' name. All
Amen.
Praises to the Father.
Amen. All praises. Amen.
Everything go back to the Father. You know?
Amen.
Amen.
Everything. So I'm humble, man. I'm humble. I'm very humble.
Well, thank you for taking us with you, bro.
Amen, bro. With grace of God, we keep on going until it's time for us to run in the wilderness and disguise
Amen.
Ourselves. And all praise
That's the message. That's the message, too.
Amen,
Amen brother. So what's on the table, man, for your 100?
Oh, you know, we got to go back to David. You know what I'm saying? Because the Bible said that David was a man after the Lord's own heart. So this precept, well, half of this precept is dedicated to his servant to show us what it means to have the heart of the Most High God. You know, and if the Lord allowed a fleshly man to have his mindset, then why can't we have that exact same mindset? You know, so what we have to do is find a servant who has a mind after the Most High God and find the scriptures to help us to have a mind like God. So the name of the precept is called Make Your Mind Indispensable Like King David.
Amen.
Make
Amen.
Your mind indispensable like King David. And the word indispensable means, in the adjective, absolutely necessary. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
In order for you to have that mind like Christ, you got to read the Bible. You got to come correct with the Bible. But the whole thing is that you got to make sure that those scriptures is in your heart at all times. And if you constantly keep the scriptures on your heart, you start walking with your heart according to the scriptures, then of course the Lord can use you for whatever he pleases, because your mind is indispensable, which means absolutely necessary. It's necessary to give him this information, this knowledge, this understanding, because he's thinking like me now. Not saying we always do, but the whole thing is we want to make sure we do as much as we possibly can to have that mindset like the Most High God. So before I get started, do I have my big bro online?
Shalom.
Shalom, bro. What's going on?
Everything's to walk.
Amen. All praise to the Father, bro. Hope you're having a great day. All praises. All right, brothers and sisters, it's time for us to get into this lesson. In case we have any more coming in right now, the name of the lesson is called Make Your Mind Indispensable Like King David. One more time. Make Your Mind Indispensable Like King David. So I'm going to ask all the sisters to please cover your head, and all brothers to please uncover your head. And if possible, let's face east towards Jerusalem, and let's pray in. And after I finish praying, then Brother Nakomi will read whatever the Father put on his heart. Amen. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
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 The Lord created man of the earth, and turned him into it again. He gave them few days and a short time, and power also over the things therein. He endued them with strength by themselves, and made them according to his image, and put the fear of man upon all flesh, and gave him dominion over beasts and fowls. They received the use of the five operations of the Lord, and in the sixth place he imparted them understanding, and in the seventh speech and interpretation of cognizations thereof. Counsels in a tongue, and eyes, ears, and a heart gave he them to understand. Withal he filled them with the knowledge of understanding, and showed them good and evil. He set his eye upon their hearts that he might show them the greatness of his works. He gave them to glory in his marvelous acts forever, that they might declare his works with understanding. And the elect shall praise his holy name. Besides this, he gave them knowledge and the law of life for heritage. He made an everlasting covenant with them and showed them his judgments. I have read Ecclesiasticus chapter 17, verses 1 through 12. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. And before we get started, I think the Father puts in my heart to give a shout out and show some really love and gratitude to Brother Nakomi and Brother Job Israel, you know, because thank you very much for, congratulating the 100 precepts. But to be honest, I honestly thank the Father for having you two, you know, the rest of the brothers, but I've been with you two longer, you know, the things that you brought on the table, and, you know, and Brother Nakomi really, really introducing the Apophica. You know, because by the things that you brought to the table, Job, and the things that Brother Nakomi brought to the table, I honestly believe help teach me and to bring me closer to the scriptures to dig deeper. So I like to thank you both and thank the Father for placing on your heart for being two amazing brothers and bringing the things that y'all bring on the table. I really want to say that, so I thank you guys for that.
Oh, amen.
Wow, brother, praise be the Lord, man. Praise God, brother. Nobody teach like our Father, man.
Amen.
All praises to the Father, Jay. Hallelujah.
Amen, hallelujah. Because, you know, since Nakomi brought the popcorn on the table, I got this precept, you know, God willing. Maybe if Sunday's open, I might be able to bring it out. You know, to bring the whole story of Moses from the Apophica. You know, it's a beautiful thing. But we'll see how that go, God willing. So I just want to acknowledge you two brothers and thank God for having y'all in my life, you know, to show me things in the scriptures that the Most High God showed you guys. So it's an honor, and I thank the Father greatly for having you two brothers.
Amen, brother. Amen. Thank you. Thank the Lord for you too, Prince.
Amen. The Father's merciful. Well, as usual on the Thursday night Bible blog talk precept to the spirit of meekness and charity, it's time for us to tear these scriptures off the shreds. Pure razor blades of lemon juice, and definitely to the White Meat Show, like my boy Buddy Mac say all the time. The name of the precept is called, one more time, Make Your Mind Indispensable Like King David. Make your mind indispensable like King David. Make your mind absolutely necessary to keep your mind on the prize, the commandments, the law, statutes, and judgments, the fruits of the Spirit, fervent charity, a mind like Christ, so you can be indispensable and the Lord can use you however way he please in a righteous way. But what we have to do is look through the scriptures to find out what type of man we really need. And when you have this, man, what is God ever do for you when your enemies come around you? You know what I'm saying? What with this indispensable mind, what is 100? You know what I'm saying? What's 100 to God when you got an indispensable mind? So what we're going to do is find out an incredible brother in the scriptures and what kind of mind does he have. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 13, verse 21. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 13, verse 21. The book of Acts chapter 13, and we're going to pick it up at verse 21, and we're going to read verses 21 through 23. Let's find out this man that our brother King David had. When you get it, go ahead and read.
Acts 13:21. And afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed have God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus.
Amen. So we understand that David was on the right spot. You know, his mind was great. His mind was good enough for God to use him and even be called a man after the Lord's own heart. So let's keep that in mind while we build this story up. So now let's go into the book of Psalms chapter 18 and let's look at what the Lord is able to do for you when you have that mindset according to these scriptures. Because to be honest, you really don't have to lift a finger. If you're taking care of your business, if you're doing the best you can to think right, you know, you're trying to be the best man you need to be, you don't necessarily ever have to defend yourself because God will always do it for you. Because remember, like the scriptures say, the Bible always says, stand still and watch the salvation of the Lord. You know, so even having this man right, it even shows us how to be humble and let God take care of our business. But when your man is right, you're thinking right, you got the scriptures on your heart 24/7, you're trying your best to be the best man, the best woman you could possibly be, what could the Lord do for you? Let's go in the book of Psalms chapter 18. The book of Psalms chapter 18, and we're going to pick it up at verse 3. And now we want to start one verse, the book of Psalms 18, verses 3. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Psalms 18 and 3. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I say, be saved from my enemies.
All the time. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from all my enemies. So when your enemy is approaching you, or if anybody trying to do any type of harm or hurt to you, what do you think we need to be doing? We need to be going to our Lord, because he is always worthy to be praised. But the Lord is always with David because David had the right heart. David had a mind that was indispensable for the Lord to use him and to be with him and to guide him. And to give him more 2 years. And to give him almost every last desire he ever had because his mind was right. He wasn't thinking of all this folly. Well, according to the scriptures, he kept his mind steadfastly on the Lord. So by thinking right and doing right, praying right, and searching and seeking out right, then what the Lord will do the same thing for us too. Because if you call him Lord and you're doing right, you best believe whatever enemy in your way is going to be an enemy of God. So let's go ahead and look close into the scriptures on how the Lord dealt very well with David. Let's go in the book of Psalms chapter 27. The book of Psalms 27. The book of Psalms, chapter 27, and all we want is verse 1.
Psalms 27 and 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Don't be afraid of. Who should you be fearing? Your fear, man? What can man do for you? You can do nothing if you got the right mindset. You can do nothing if you got your mind constantly focused on God and the scripture. What can man do to you? Don't care how wicked or how riches or how powerful he is, what can he do to serving the God if his mind is right and his mind is indispensable? What do you have to be afraid of? Nothing. Because we know our God got our back. Because David said it himself in the scriptures. I was young, now I am old. But two things I had never seen. I had never seen a servant forsaken, neither begging for bread. We always will be straight. As long as we be straight and do what's right. And fight for what's right. think right, do right, and do the best you can to be the best man or woman you could possibly be, you have nothing to worry about. Because God will take care of his. Keep that in mind. Let's go to the book of Psalms chapter 4. And let's look at some more of this awesome heart of David. The book of Psalms chapter 4, and all we want is verse 7. Well, we're going to read 7 and 8. I'm sorry.
Psalms chapter 4, starting at the 7. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increase. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety.
So if you have a mind like this, if you have a heart like God, you mean to tell me that it says in verse 7, thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased? You mean to tell me that you are more jolly, more happy, more of that fervent charity? Gladness beyond recognition and happiness and joy just because you think right? Your mind is indispensable for God? Because one thing I realize is that though nothing be peace, and when you are serving the God, boy, I'm telling you, the highlight of my day is got my music going in the scripture. Or have on your mind all the time, what's greater than that? But the book says this right here. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell safely. Because his mind was indispensable. Because remember, this body already jacked up. This body already want to do what it want to do. But in order for that mind, in order for you not to do what you want to do, your mind got to be right. Because your mind is the one that beat it down, beat it down, beat it down, beat it down. Lust in your heart, your mind is supposed to beat it down. You know, you want to pop off at the mouth and start talking crazy, your mind is supposed to beat it down. If anything is in your life that is contrary against the word, your mind is supposed to beat it down. Because you have the scriptures, and if the scriptures on your heart, that's how you defeat the body. By constantly keeping God on your heart. Then you can lay down in peace and sleep. Because you can always be thinking about God and thinking about what you can do next to satisfy him. But your mind got to be indispensable. It got to be ready for when the time is right. Now let's go into the book of Psalms chapter 9. Because this one I love right here, boy. I know we all love this man, but God do some good for us. And guess what? Even David. The book of Psalms chapter 9, all we want is verse 1. When you get it, go ahead and read.
Psalms 9 and 1. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works.
Heck yeah, boy. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole mind. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. Go ahead and keep reading, bro.
Verse 2. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high.
Uh-huh.
When my enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintain my right in my cause. Thou settest in the throne, judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will.
Amen, bro. Thank you. So I just want Big Bro to keep reading a little further down so we can really see what the Lord do for his people. I'm talking about all races. I'm talking about all those that fear and tremble and do the best they can to serve God. It said, I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praises to the name, O thou Most High. When my enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. So remember, we've got to have that mindset to understand that if anything is in our way, if anybody is bothering us or anybody trying to harm us or anything like that, we need to have that heart, that right mind to know that the Lord is going to bounce back any evil that comes towards our way. We got to believe that. We got to know that. And we better be praising God always and showing the people how great of a God we have. We serve a great and incredible God. And he will always take care of his people. Even to the end and forever and ever. Now let's go into the book of Psalms chapter 119. Book of Psalms chapter 119, and all we want is verse 34.
Psalms 119, verse 34. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart.
See? Because David said, give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. How do you get the understanding? You got to read the book, you got to obey the book, and you got to believe that it is. Because in order for you to get the understanding, you got to read the book. And when you get the understanding from the book, place that in your mind. Matter of fact, place it, and you shall observe it with your whole heart. Read all the way down to verse 37 for me.
37? Okay. 30, start,
30,
start 35, 30? Verse 35. 35.
Yes, sir.
Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way.
Amen. It said in verse 34, it said, give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. I shall observe it with my whole heart. And then it said in 35, make me to go in the path of thy commandments. How do you think you'll do that? By the understanding according to the scriptures of the book. Once you take hold of that, it's going to teach you how to go the right path and keep his commandments. Because then we're showing the Lord that we delight in him. In 36, I incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity. This is how you get that mind. This is how you make sure that your heart is indispensable. By taking heed to the scriptures and following the directions. Then you can have a good man like that. And let's go to the book of Proverbs chapter 4. The book of Proverbs chapter 4, and we're going to read one verse, and that verse will be 23.
Proverbs 4 and 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.
So this is very important. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, right? And that diligence is just caution. For out of it are the issues of life. From thy heart. So I think that the scriptures is trying to show us that the more we need to practice and focus hard on trying to keep God in our mind at all times, and try our best to back off a lot of foolish things that go around in our heart. Now, I'm not saying you're not going to be able to stop every thought. Now, I'm not saying you go left sometimes, because I know we all human, and we all be thinking some crazy stuff sometimes. But why not do the best we can with the things that the Lord gave us? Not saying to be thinking right all 24/7 of the day, but why not try your best to do 24/7 a day? You know, after you pop in the list, after you finish reading, hey, throw some gospel music on or something, or how you get down, I don't know. But as soon as we're tired of doing one thing, why not just try to go somewhere else? Because the book is really thorough on this. It says that, what verse was that we just read? Verse 23, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So let's be mindful of that. Now let's look at another way that we could try to help this matter out some more. Let's go to the book of Jeremiah chapter 29. Book of Jeremiah chapter 29, and we're going to read verse 13.
Jeremiah 29 and 13.
Yes, sir.
And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart.
Oh, so that's very interesting. You really want the indispensable mind, right? Or just like, or the indispensable mind like King David, right? So then we can take really good heed to verse 13. It says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. So that means that we need to do the best we can to make sure that God is in our heart at 24/7. So that means we don't have room to be entertained in a lot of things of this world, because that can get you sidetracked. But if we keep our heart on the scriptures and keep searching him more and more, then he'll show it to you. He'll be with you. And just like the precept, that's like what the name of the precept is, your mind can be indispensable then. But we got to search with our whole heart. We just can't do half of it, just a little bit. Do as much as you possibly can every single day. Make it secondhand nature, to the point that you don't have to force yourself to think about it, because you're already thinking about him. Let's try to do that. Now let's go right back into the book of Proverbs chapter 3. In the book of Proverbs chapter 3, and look at verses 3 and 4.
Proverbs chapter 3, starting at the 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee, Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man.
Oh, who? So when you keep, okay, so if you let these things abide in your heart, who would you go to find favor with and show good understanding? You're going to show that with God. And you're going to also show that with man, because they're going to start to speak the truth to the Spirit. They're going to know you different. You're not going to be coming across as some regular Joe Blow in the street. You be coming with that light, and people going to be able to see that light on you. But the main key of this is impressing God. When you don't let mercy and truth forsake you, when you bind them about your neck, when you write them upon the table of your mind, you shall find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. But we got to keep it in our minds. We got to keep these in our hearts. We got to practice every single day on these fruits of the Spirit, the commandments, and the law, statutes, and judgments in our heart continually, so we can find favor with the Most High God. And if you slack it, and if it might be a little tough sometimes, you know, it might be them days that you really don't want to do it. Let's go back to King David and let's see what David said about this. Let's go to the book of Psalms chapter 50. The book of Psalms chapter 50. I'm sorry, chapter 51. Let's go to the book of Psalms chapter 51. And what we're going to do is read one verse, and that one verse will be verse 10.
Psalms 51 and 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
So when times get rough, when times get low, when you think you're at your lowest, face east towards Jerusalem and talk to your God. When things just ain't too right for you, when your mind just going all over the place, when your flesh is just a little too weak, go to your God. That's for me. You did this for me. But if you fall through the same thing, let's bleed together and understand what King David is talking about here. When your heart and your thoughts is not right, or if you ain't got the commandments in your heart how you're supposed to be, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Because only through his grace and mercy we're going to get it anyway. Let's humble ourselves and let's go to God when we low like this. When this flesh is overtake, or it feel like it's overtaking us. When our thoughts is just going off crazy. Let's go to our God and ask the great and incredible and merciful God, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Keep that in mind. Now let's go back to the book of Proverbs chapter 3. And we're going to pick it up at verse 5. It will be verses 5 and 6.
Proverbs 3 and 5.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths.
And that's how we get to do this. That's how we get the indispensable mind. We got to trust in the Lord with all our mind. And we cannot lean into our own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Read verse 7 for me, bro. Just that one verse.
7?
Mm-hmm.
7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil.
So I know it's one thing I realized that it could be a little tough, you know, for us fleshly beings. It could be a little tough not to go off of your own thoughts, you know, off of your own mind or your own feelings. Because Peter didn't. Lord said, I forget how that scripture went. But when Peter told the Lord, well, no, you ain't go die. He would say, well, get behind thee, Satan. Just off that second Jesus boy. Because this flesh is crazy. I'm not saying it's always easy to not trust in your thoughts. Or trust in your own way. It can happen sometimes. But through the grace of God, he can bounce us back to the way he wants us to think, according to the scriptures. But so we can understand how important it is, let's go in the book of Jeremiah chapter 17. Let's go in the book of Jeremiah chapter 17. So just in case if we do have a bad issue with going after our own mind or our own thoughts, let's see where our thoughts lay. So read the book of Jeremiah 17, and we're going to read verses 9 and 10. When you get it, bro, go ahead and read.
Jeremiah 17 and 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing.
So now we understand where all our hearts is in. Every individual, when you don't keep God on your heart according to the scriptures, when you're not thinking about God like how King David was, when you're not focusing on the scriptures, this is where our heart is at. So this don't make us no better than anybody. God just allow us to know him and how to go to him. And how to knock off some of our foolishness. Everybody's head is jacked up. But the Lord gives his servants a way around that. You keep thinking of me in these scriptures, you're not going to be thinking of your own way, which is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So this is why it's very important not to go after our own mind. This is why we should be going after our own hearts. We should not be designing things in our vain heads because it is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's why we got to keep the scriptures in our heart because that's going to knock off the foolishness in our mind. This is going to stop us doing the things that we like to do. Not saying it might creep up a couple of times, but we do the best we can to beat it down. That's why the book said the righteous man is, that's why the book said that a just man falls 7 times, the Lord pick him back up again. You know, we're going to slip and fall sometimes. But to help us from slipping and falling all the time, know that your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Once you know that, you won't get deceived by all that madness. And you go keep my scriptures, my way in your heart. Let's be mindful with that. That's why it's important to keep these scriptures on your heart. Because if not, man, it's gonna be a rough ride. Now let's go back to Proverbs chapter 3. And it's gonna be verses 1 and 2.
Proverbs chapter 3, starting at the 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee.
That's why the book said, my son, forget not my law, because if you do, you could be mingling with that Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. So we can't forget the law. We got to keep that in our heart at all times. So that's why I say, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Because if you do, it's going to be for length of days. And long life and peace shall be added to thee. If you do what I say, you will live long. But the whole thing is, it got to start with the mind. It got to be the heart. You got to keep the heart continually in your mind. So let's be mindful of that. To put a little more up in this, man. I didn't know we was going this fast. So now we got to understand, according to the scriptures, and how to make our mind indispensable and how to make it absolutely necessary. We got to keep it necessary for the Most High God, and the only way to do that is by reading the pages of this book, keeping the law in your heart. Remember King David on how he kept God in his heart. Know you need to knock the folly out of your own heart and make sure you keep with the page of this book. It can help you out with so many things. It could even help you out when you're out about in your life or if you're trying to find yourself a spouse. You know, you might looking for a wife or a husband. The Bible even talk about how to make sure you do that right. Let's see if we can find some of this stuff. What shouldn't we be looking at? Because we know we got to look at the heart. But what we're going to do now is see how this thing can play out. And this is called the outer appearance versus the inner man. Because remember, it's all in the head. Let's see if we can play this thing out. Let's see the outer man versus the inner man. Let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 6. The book of Matthew chapter 6. Because it would be nice if more brothers and sisters start reading this stuff. Because, matter of fact, we're going to read this and then I say that. Read the book of Matthew chapter 6. And all we're going to do is read verses 20. Well, let me see if this is right. Matthew 6. Make sure this is right. This is the right one, but I think I got it switched up some. Well, keep your marker here. I switched it up on accident. Keep your marker. This is the next one. Let's go in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3. Keep your mark in Matthew 6. We're going there next. But let's go into the book of 1 Peter chapter 3. The book of 1 Peter chapter 3. Outer man versus inner man. 1 Peter chapter 3 is going to be verses 3 and 4. Will you get it, big bro? Go ahead and read.
1 Peter chapter 3, starting at 3. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price.
Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind before we break this down. Now let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 6. Man, keep that in mind, y'all. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Now let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 6. And what we're going to do is read verse 21, Matthew 6 and 21. Just one verse, so we can see how these two add up together. So read the book of Matthew 6. Sorry, go ahead.
Matthew 6, 21. For where your treasure is,
there will your heart be also.
Oh, amen. So we got to keep that in mind. Remember, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So wherever your heart is at, it's going to show where it's at. But going back into this right here, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, it says, whose adoring, let it not be the outward adoring of planting of the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. You see, because one thing I realize about a lot of brothers and sisters, you know, I'm not saying I'm perfect, but just dealing with this matter since we, you know, dealing with the precept, this outer appearance is really big to us, you know, because a lot of us tend to think righteousness is the Hebrew clothing or the long beard. The long beard. You know what I'm saying? Or if you got the little hat thing going, have some purpose think. Because a lot of us, we tend to get so excited on that outer appearance. Well, I don't wear weave no more. So, you know, I got the long flocks and dreadlocks. I'm doing it righteous. That stuff don't mean a damn thing if your heart ain't right. You could be doing so much strife. You could be doing so much debate and fighting with the fist and short and having a contentious heart that a lot of us do with beards, nice clothing, the fine apparel or whatever, wearing the long dresses that's dragging to the floor. We honestly think that that's considered righteousness. That won't even get you across the street, let alone the God's kingdom. Because it really bothers me that we can sit back and debate for years on clothing or if a sister should be wearing pants or not. There's no way possible that we should be arguing over stuff like that. Or you got some sisters that be like, well, they'll show a picture of them wearing pants. And then 3 years later, they go show themselves wearing a skirt and say, well, I was wearing the pants when I was in the streets, but since I found God, now I'm wearing the skirt. Now, so you do what you want with clothing, but you shouldn't use that as a way of representing your righteousness because it don't mean nothing. You can wear the top of Hebrew gift and get tossed straight face first and like a fire because it's the mind that's on play. We get to understand that it's the mind that God wants. That's why the Lord said that David was a man after his own heart. He didn't say David was a man after his own natural appearance. Because his heart was right. His mind was indispensable. The Lord had to check Samuel about that. Now let's go check this thing out. This will be last. Let's go and put the 1 Samuel chapter 16. The Lord had to check Samuel to see it. With this, because he started thinking worldly, and let him know straight off the bat, man, I'm mad. I'm going to mind. I don't care about how you look. You can have 11 teeth in your mouth. If you're doing right, you can the chance you can get a spot in the kingdom. But I care about how you look for. The book said ain't man greater than John, and he came looking crazy as ever. It ain't got nothing to do with your height or your stature, or if you can go a build or not. It's your mind that the Most High God wants. Let's go to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 16. And we're going to read verses 6 through 13. When you get it, bro, this will be last. Go ahead and read.
1 Samuel chapter 16, starting at the 6th. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart.
Now remember, the God is always telling us to come out of this way of thinking. Come out of this fleshly, worldly thoughts. How you look don't mean nothing. Like I said it before, I'll say it again. It ain't got nothing to do with the beard. Don't have nothing to do with if you're tall or short. Don't mean nothing. It's all about your heart. Because we want to look like Moses so much until we're forgetting the basics. We want to sit back and argue, cause strife and debate. We can't come together. We always got to try to prove something. But ain't nobody checking their hearts. Because there's a couple of things on Facebook, you know what I'm saying, and on YouTube, you know what I'm saying, about brothers having this uproar and causing all these battles of strife and debate because a brother simply cut his beard. We got to understand this. Joseph What did Joseph do? He shaved himself and got himself prepared and ready to present himself in front of the Pharaoh. We got to understand we're not home. We're still over there. We're scattered around the world. So if we're scattered around the world, we need to look at Joseph. Joseph shaved his head and probably put on makeup and everything like the Egyptians. Because why do you think he did that? Because sometimes we got to do what we got to do. You think the Lord was going to take him out because he prepared himself for something that the Lord gave him anyway? No, I'm not at home. I'm over here in this other land. I got to come right. So that's like if you had an interview or something. You know, you got kids at home. You know, your wife ain't got no job, and Lord bless you, get a job. But they tell you, you got to shave your face. It might not be wise to keep that hair on your face because you might be missing your blessing. Because we got to understand that it's always the inside of your heart. That's what's at play. So Lord telling him, man, hey, I'm not mad. What you doing? Come on, Sammy, you've been around me long enough. I ain't like y'all. I don't do what y'all do. Y'all look at this outer appearance. Y'all look at all this strong muscles and built structure. That don't mean a damn thing to me. I want your inside. I want to see if your mind is indispensable for me to use. The hell with how you look.
Verse 8. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah.
Oh, so the Lord really showed you, huh? So he picked the youngest. And all them brothers the Lord could have chose. The Lord chose the youngest. don't talk about his build structure or anything like that, so I'm not going to feel about that, but you can just see where this conversation is going. I ain't interested in all that stuff y'all interested in. You know, it even put us in our place, you know, if we're looking for a wife or if you're looking for a husband. We got to make sure we get our hearts right with that too. Because you might be praying for something and you think you're going to get this Beyonce damn piece. That might not be for you. You might get that beautiful little chubby girl that'll stick to you today. Get that. Because it's about the mind. It's not about all them looks and appearances and all that other garbage. Because it's crazy, man. That's why we need to understand. This is why God told us we got to come out of this world. You can't up and leave this world, but you can come out of it. Stop thinking like this world. Because remember, the world put looks on a pedestal above high. And how the inside man that really matters is so low. They jacked that up beyond recognition. Because when you go out here in this world, you got to be fly, you got to have the cars, you got to have the degrees, this, that, and the other. Ain't said nothing wrong with that. But how can he treat you? Because if you're dealing with a brother or sister that got the word of God, all that outer appearance don't mean nothing. But it's deception. We got to make sure we keep an indispensable mind, like King David. I thank y'all for y'all time. Father's merciful. I turn things over to Brother Joe and Sister Ray.
Amen. You great, great preacher, man. Brothers and sisters, if you can mute your lines, you're getting feedback right now. Until you're ready to speak, or else Ray's gonna she's gonna take control and mute everybody and make you raise your hand like you're in second grade.
You know I'm boxing.
Oh, my God, that women live thing is all up in the
camp. No, it's not.
And so you know you're going to be saying, I want my own name, Israel.
Nah.
Anyway, look, man, great precept, brother. Great, great, great precept. And I love the fact that the Lord allows you to remind us, you know, that we have to prepare our hearts for that. You know, it's not something that, you know, you just can walk into like, yeah, Lord, guess what? I'm going to be dispensable to you. It don't work like that. You know, like you said, the Lord chose David. He was the youngest. He was, you know, the smallest. He had other brothers that were older than him and probably was more stocked and everything. Of course, Samuel said surely it's this one because he was taller than all of them. You know, he must have been muscled up, but Lord said, nope, I rejected him. It had nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with what's going on inside of your head. You got to have the right things in your mind when it comes to people. You can't be thinking of how you can be evil to them. You can't plan wickedness against your brother at any cost or any way. Not even in your mind. This is that thing that I just want to share this scripture here. I had a couple of them, but I'm just going to read this one. This is Philippians 2 and 1. And I'm going to read down to the 6. And it says this. It says, read down to the 7. Actually 8. I'm going to read all of them. Read 8. It's the reason is I'm reading this is because of what you was talking about, that mind, having that mind that's indispensable, where it starts here. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. That's the mind that God is seeking from. That
Amen.
He said, in order for us to feel His joy, I notice, you know, we hear Paul, and this is Paul's face on this letter, but it's really the Spirit, and it's the Spirit that's talking through Paul to us, and he said, fulfill my joy. This is Christ through Paul. Fulfill my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. In other words, it's not about one-upping or anything like that, because that leads to emulation and envy, and ultimately heresy. That vainglory thing, man, that's a deep door. That opened the door for a lot of things. That opened the door to heresy. Seriously, heresy. And the Lord said, people that do that, not going to see them. But in loneliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Amen. Amen. And when you hear the brothers, when you hear the prophets refer to each other, it ain't about me or I. When you hear anything concerning those things, they always talking about humbling themselves. Let me, like the Lord said, like Abraham said to the Lord, let me fetch you some water. You hungry? You know, and those things. Man, you know, there's people in this world that you go and visit, and they just knock you out with comfort and welcome and hospitality. That's not in everybody, but that's it. That's that thing. And it says, esteeming others better than themselves. That's absent of leavening or pride. Look not every man to his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Okay, I thank the Father that He allowed me to see the creation. But I love the prophetic book and numbers. You understand? I love that. I love the Hebrews knowledge. I love that. You know, and I love hearing that because people think, you know, because you're teaching the word that you're in the best place in the house. No. The best place in the house is to be blessed enough to hear.
Amen.
And I'm always there. It says, to things of others. You know, Bible code, things of that nature. Spiritual warfare.
Amen.
Spiritual authority, for real? Teach you how to meditate.
Amen.
Reach out to God. It says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Jesus. That's what we ask. Don't get any better than that. And that's when we at that point when we made ourselves indispensable, man. I love this. Man, all I could think about was God and how He make you indispensable. Like David said, my tongue is that of a ready writer.
Yeah.
pen that's a, and that's what we do. We write books.
Amen.
Man, straight from the Spirit. Hallelujah. Heal the mic.
Amen, bro.
Amen, bro.
All praise to the Father.
All praise to the Father.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Hey, shalom, bro.
Awesome reading.
Yeah,
man. Great job.
All right, thank you.
This lesson,
if anybody ever heard me before, my favorite person
in the Bible.
Yeah,
we're
getting a lot of feedback.
Hold on.
Okay, hold on.
Is Shalom to call me?
Yeah. Okay. Shalom?
Shalom, bro.
Oh, okay. Oh, they muted. King David, besides Christ, King David is my favorite person in the scriptures. And I tell people all the time, you need to read the things that David wrote, and just read about what we was reading about earlier about when he got anointed, and all the things he said right before he was about to fight Goliath and those type of things. When you look at how David think, his mind and those type of things, and if you apply these things to your life, he's a great person to study. And to go over and over again. I love reading the Psalms. I love reading all the things where he's at, because you pay attention to his spirit of King David. That this guy, he loved the law, he loved the Lord. He was a person that was totally bought out for everything of God. Everything of God. His mind was with that. That's why he said he was a man after God's own heart. Saying even though he committed premeditated murder and adultery, I understand why God said, "I forgive you." When you look at all the work in his mind and how fervent his spirit was for the things of God, how great his faith was, how great his spirit was, how great his mind was, how great his understanding was, and all those things about him. He always went above and beyond, to the point that he even said out of his mouth that he went past all his teachers. He was able to say that, and it's written, and God let that be there, written just like that. And every day, ever since I got understanding, I started more and more, I aspire to be like my forefather David. I aspire to be great like him. He's one of the greatest, most talented people that ever walked the face of the earth. So I love when anybody bring my favorite besides Jesus Christ on the table. Great lesson.
Amen, Jew. Amen. Thank you for your input, bro.
Anyone else have any comments or questions? Just press the number 1 and I'll open up your line.
Well, brother, like everybody, just sitting neutral right now. I guess they're taking in and digesting this meat. And just piggybacking off of what our brother Nakomi said, man, about David. You know, people talk about the Temple of Solomon. And, you know, the temple that Solomon built. But in truth, David was going to build it, that temple. He had everything to build it. He gave that to Solomon. That was David's temple that Solomon built. You wouldn't know David was that rich. Not by reading his the way he thinks. Not listening to the way he thinks, you would have never known David was that far up the food chain. That he can build something that this world could never even measure up to ever. So, man, that's what I got to rattle my foot on the Comey, man. When you talk about David, you talk about some beautiful things in God. That's that work in recovery, you know. And that's most of us. And we can still do great things in recovery. Bob can forgive you, can still do great things. Who knows where it'll lead to. So, with that being said, I'm going to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone here at the Sound of Living Waters. And we want to thank our brother Isaiah Brown for preparing a wonderful precept. Once again, another chapter for that book, Hubris Knowledge. Great job, Israelite. Great job, Prince.
Amen.
Great job reading the comments. So, that being said, we want to be back here again tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock p.m. for the Commonwealth of Israel. And tomorrow, we're dealing with an old precept. An old precept is one of my favorites. And it's the wilderness, the place of safety.
Amen.
I think about it a lot, and I just want to deal with it and look into those things. You know, we don't hardly talk about the wilderness enough. I just was going through some of my notes, and I said, let's do that. So tomorrow evening, we're going to deal with the wilderness, the place of safety, through the Great Tribulation.
Come on with it.
Amen.
Amen.
And Sabbath day to be announced. So, with that being said, I want to thank everybody for their time. We want to hope we edify someone. And once again, brother Isaiah, congratulations on your 100th episode, your 100th precept. Thank you for sharing all that wisdom and that knowledge.
Amen.
Thank you for having a heart and not scared and no fear.
Amen.
To represent what the Father is giving you.
Amen.
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 We thank the Lord for you, man. We thank the Lord for what he's given you and what you've been sharing with us. Very necessary.
If that's necessary,
then you're necessary. So 100.
100.
You 100.
Amen.
On the board. There it
you
is.
No black.
You 100 on the board. That's keeping that book open, bro. That's keeping the book open. Woo. Think about it.
Yeah. So,
with
Amen.
That being said, once again,
congratulations. And as we say here at the Sounds of Living Waters, do what? Read your Bible. Read your Bibles, people. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, radio show.
We teach the Bible. Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Times of the living water. Times of the living water. Times of the living water. Radio show. Times of the living water. Times of the living water. Times of the living water. Radio show. Times of the living water. Times of the living water. Sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.